What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, before we get into things, I did want to let y'all know that there will not be a show on Monday because that is my birthday, and I will actually be in Las Vegas, tearing it up as people do on their birthday. Actually, nah, I won't be tearing it up. I'll be smoking it up, but there will be no show Monday, but I will be back next Friday for a new show. So let's get into the NBA playoff picture, because we are only about 2 weeks away from the beginning of the NBA playoffs, and I mean, it's pretty much set. All the teams that are in. It's just really a matter of seeding and really where everybody's at, but right now, this is how the Western Conference looks right now. The number one overall seed remains the Oklahoma City Thunder, with a regular season record of 61-16. Then the number two overall seed is the San Antonio Spurs, with a regular season record of 59-18. Then the Lakers are in at number three seed right now, at 50-27. Number four seed is the Denver Nuggets at 49-28. Number five seed is the Houston Rockets at 47-29. And the number six overall seed is the Minnesota Timberwolves at 46-30. And then on the play-in side of things here on the Western Conference, the number seven overall seed is the Phoenix Suns at 42-35. The number eight overall seed is the Portland Trail Blazers at 40-38. At number nine, the Los Angeles Clippers at 39-38. And then the number 10 overall seed is the Golden State Warriors at 36-41. So that is how the Western Conference is looking. And then the Eastern Conference number one overall seed is the Detroit Pistons at 56-21. And I mean, they still keep on rolling with no Cade Cunningham. So that's exactly what they need before they hit the playoffs to just show the world that they are still the best team in the Eastern Conference, even without their superstar player. Then at the number two overall seed in the Eastern Conference is the Boston Celtics at 51-25. Number three overall seed is the New York Knicks at 49-28. Number four overall seed is the Cleveland Cavaliers at 48-29. Number five is the Atlanta Hawks at 44-33. Number six overall seed is the Philadelphia 76ers at 42-34. And then right now the play-in side of the Eastern Conference looks like the number seven overall seed is the Toronto Raptors at 42-34. Number eight overall seed is the Charlotte Hornets at 41-36. Number nine overall seed is the Orlando Magic at 40-36. And then number 10 overall seed is the Miami Heat at 40-37. So that's how we're looking right now in the with the playoff standings, playoff seedings as it goes right now. Like I said, those are all the teams in. All 10 of those teams are for the Eastern Conference and Western Conference right now. That's the way it's looking. Like I said, it's just a matter of seeding over the next couple of weeks. I kind of feel like the Thunder and the Pistons have the number one overall seeds locked down. And then beyond that, might get shuffled a tiny bit. But overall, I think it's all going to be the same. All right, so moving on to the big deal this weekend is the Final Four matchups in college basketball. This is for everything. We've got two big, really good matchups as well. The first matchup is between UConn versus Illinois. Shockingly, Illinois is actually a 1.5-point favorite. I feel like statistically, these are pretty equal teams. And, they both play well offensively. They both play well defensively. When you really look at them statistically, they pretty much mirror each other. But I kind of feel like, is UConn burnt out from that big game that they had against Duke? I mean, they were down. They made a huge comeback, and then they just had the big win, and sometimes that can deflate your tires heading into the next game, and I really won't be surprised if that's what happens in this game. I feel like Illinois is coming in really strong, playing really excellent basketball, and they just really know what they're doing. And like I said, I kind of feel like UConn might be burnt out from that last game, so I've got Illinois winning this one. And then the second matchup we have is probably going to be better than whoever we have going up against each other in the championship game, because these are the two top teams in college basketball for sure. We have Arizona versus Michigan, and Michigan is a 1.5-point favorite right now. Statistically, Michigan really just towers over Arizona. I mean, Michigan is just a damn good team offensively, defensively. They are just they're probably the most complete team in college basketball and really showing it. Now, I picked Arizona to win it all, so I'm going to go ahead and stick with Arizona in this matchup, but I really wouldn't be shocked if Michigan wins this one. But I do expect it to be a close matchup because, I mean, Arizona's been one of the top-tier teams all season. Michigan's been one of the top-tier teams all season. Like I said, statistically, Michigan is better, but, I mean, stats don't win games. That just doesn't matter at all. really when it's all said and done. But I just feel like Arizona's going to step it up. It's going to be a close matchup, but I've got Arizona winning this one. And so my championship right now is looking like Arizona versus Illinois. So we'll see what happens with the Final Four matchups on Saturday night. And it's actually been a really solid week of baseball to start the season. I mean, rookies have been flying out of the box, just having great seasons to start. We've got catchers. I don't know what's going on with catchers this year. It's not just Cal Raleigh. There are so many catchers right now that are just showing out that it's really difficult to even just pinpoint one of them. And then we've got some great pitching as well. We've already had our first complete game shutout of the season. So let's get around into the week of baseball. Beginning on Monday, the Arizona Diamondbacks had a surprising win over the Detroit Tigers 9-6. And Mike Soroka pitched a gem for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He actually had 10 strikeouts and had an immaculate fifth inning. And if you don't know what that is, that just means he struck out every single person that he faced. All of his pitches were strikes. He faced three batters, strike, strike, boom, strike, strike, boom, strike, strike, boom, and he's out of there in the fifth inning. So just a great game for Mike Soroka. Corbin Carroll had a home run and four RBIs. So it was a big night for the Arizona Diamondbacks and a big win over the Detroit Tigers. Then on Monday night, the Seattle Mariners got a big win over the New York Yankees 2-1. Cal Raleigh actually had the game-winning single. So like I said, catchers be having great seasons so far hitting. As a matter of fact, Cal Raleigh has not had a good year so far. That was basically his big hit of the season so far, and he definitely needed it. But their starting pitcher, Castillo, he pitched a gem, had 7 strikeouts and 6 innings pitched, and got a big win for the Seattle Mariners against the Yankees. Then on Tuesday, the Phillies debuted their new pitcher, Andrew Painter, and he got a nice win over the Washington Nationals 3-2. Painter went 5.1 innings pitched with 8 strikeouts in his debut, and Adolis Garcia and Schwarber both added in home runs in this one, and really solid dominating performance for the Phillies. And you know, they could definitely, they already have a solid pitching staff, but now that they got Painter in there, a guy who's been unfortunately battling through injuries over the last couple of seasons, that's why it took him so long to make his debut. But it was a nice, solid debut, and now it makes this Phillies starting pitching depth really, really good. Then on Tuesday night, the Toronto Blue Jays took down the Colorado Rockies 5-1, and Max Scherzer, the old dude, he just continues to tear it up. He went 6 innings with 4 strikeouts, and then Vlad Guerrero went 2-for-3 with an RBI. And the Toronto Blue Jays, man, their pitching is looking really, really good to start the season. They're scoring runs as well, but I mean, they're starting pitching. They've had Dylan Cease has had his first start. I think he had like 10 strikeouts. And Gausman, he had a great first start. So Scherzer adding in another great start to another solid, deep starting pitching rotation. Then the New York Yankees shut out the Seattle Mariners on Tuesday 5-0. This was actually their third shutout of their fifth in their fifth game of the season, which is actually they've never done that before. They've just absolutely been dominating so far this season. And Max Fried, he came right out the gate and had another, you know, he's starting the season off the way he ended it last year. He had 7 innings pitched with 6 strikeouts and an absolutely amazing dominating performance from the Yankees over the Seattle Mariners. And then the Dodgers had a dominating performance over the Cleveland Guardians 4-1. Shohei Ohtani actually pitched in this game, and he pitched the gem as well. He went 6 innings with 6 strikeouts and went 1-for-3 behind the plate as well. And Max Muncy had a home run and actually continued. I think he moved up to third place in all-time Dodger home run leaders. So Dodgers continue to do what the Dodgers do, and that is get more and more wins and stack up the runs. And then on Wednesday, the Atlanta Braves beat the Sacramento A's 5-1. Chris Sale, he was sick in this game, but he didn't matter. He went 6 innings pitched with 3 strikeouts, had a very solid game over the A's. Baldwin also went 2-for-3, added in 4 RBI as well. In a nice, solid game from Chris Sale and the Atlanta Braves. But the pitcher of the week ended up being Sandy Alcantara. Now, I said that the Marlins better watch out, because pretty much the only thing they're going to have to talk about is when is he going to get traded. And this is why, because the Marlins beat the Chicago White Sox 10-0. But Alcantara actually pitched to Maddox, which means you pitched a complete game with zero earned runs under 100 pitches, and he went 93 pitches in this one, pitched a complete game, shutout, so no earned runs, and also seven strikeouts on this one. I mean, Sandy Alcantara has been one of the most consistent pitchers since he hit the league. That's why I put him on trade watch, because he's been on trade watch over the last couple of seasons. You know, last year was pretty much marred by injuries, so I kind of feel like that's why he ended up not getting traded. So I really won't be shocked if he gets out there, because he is one of the most solid, consistent pitchers he's had. This is his 13th complete game of his career, his fifth shutout of his career, and his second Maddux pitched in his career. So that just goes to show you what kind of a pitcher he is. And if somebody is really desperate or just really wants to kind of complete a pitching rotation here, you want to pick up Sandy Alcantara, because he's obviously an ace. He's obviously just a really consistent pitcher when you get him out there. And he's pitching for a terrible ass Miami Marlins team, even though they're starting the season off pretty hot right now. They're still the Marlins, and I pretty much expect us to be hearing about trade rumors with Alcantara all the way up until the trade deadline, as we have for the last two, three seasons now. But him pitching that gem, it only just bolsters his trade value. You know, we'll see what happens with the Marlins. All right, so moving on to my 2026 MLB season predictions. I was supposed to do this on Monday, but I didn't have a lot of time to kind of plot it out, so I just skipped it and moved it to today. So I'm going to go ahead and break down how I feel the postseason is going to turn out and who ultimately I think is going to win it all this year. So let's begin with the National League and how I feel like that's going to pan out this year. I have the Dodgers as the number one overall seed, winning the West as always, just because until they fall apart, you can't pick against the Dodgers. I mean, I feel like they have a weak starting pitching rotation and a weak bullpen, but so fucking what? I mean, until they fall apart, can't pick against them. They have the top offense in the league, that's for sure. I just really only expect them to just continue what they do. They're the two-time defending champs. So like I said, until they fall back, I can't expect them to fall back. So I feel like they're going to be the number one overall seed and win the West. In the National League, I feel like the number two overall seed is going to be the New York Mets. I think they're going to win the National League East. Then the number three overall seed I have is the Chicago Cubs. I feel like they're going to win the Central. And then the wild card teams I have at number four, the San Diego Padres, number five, the Philadelphia Phillies, and number six, the Atlanta Braves. I just feel like all six of these teams have really, they have at least decent starting pitching. And if they don't have a great like starting pitching rotation, they're really solid on the offensive side of the ball. They're also really good defensive teams as well. And they've just got a lot of depth on their rosters overall. And that's how I feel the National League's going to turn out. The American League, my number one overall seed I have is the New York Yankees. I have them winning the East. I feel like they only bolstered their roster this year, and so far, they've been the hottest team offensively. I mean, they've pretty much demolished every team they've played this year so far. And, I mean, their pitching looks great, and we still haven't seen Cole out there. We still haven't seen Rodon out there. And then they get Volpe back here. I feel like any day he's supposed to be back. So their roster is only going to get better. Then the number two overall seed in the American League I have is the Detroit Tigers. I have them winning the Central. And then the number three overall seed I have is the Texas Rangers. I have them winning the West. And then my wild card teams in the American League, I have the number four overall seed is the Boston Red Sox, number five, the Kansas City Royals, and number six, the Toronto Blue Jays. As you can see, I feel like the American League East is going to be as dominating as it's been over the last couple of seasons. Because you see that I've got the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Toronto Blue Jays all in there. And that's just because I feel like they've got great depth at starting pitcher. I feel like the Red Sox are going to be one of the biggest surprise teams this year, along with the Kansas City Royals, because they have a lot of young guys. And I'm talking about both teams. They have some really young guys who I think are finally going to shine this year and really show out and start to fill into those expectations that we've been placing upon them for the last couple of seasons. I do feel like the Boston Red Sox have a better starting pitching rotation than the Royals, but the Royals are a team that's been known to make trades as well. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Royals are a team, like, you know, I've been talking about Sandy Alcantara could be out there for trade. Well, I think he would fit right in with that Kansas City Royals rotation, but that's just me throwing that out there, obviously. I just feel like there's... the American League East is not only going to be a battle between all three of those teams, but I think definitely the wild card is going to be dominated by the American League East as well. So my National League wild card matchups I have is the Atlanta Braves versus the Chicago Cubs. And I have the Cubs winning that matchup. And then the Philadelphia Phillies versus the San Diego Padres. I have the Padres winning that matchup. Then my American League wild card matchups, I have the Toronto Blue Jays versus the Texas Rangers. I have the Blue Jays winning that matchup simply because of their playoff pedigree. Texas is kind of just new. They've got a lot of new players, new young players. And I feel like the Rangers are going to be a really solid team this year. And they've been playing really solid baseball so far to start the year. But I think once they hit the playoffs, the Blue Jays are going to show them that our veteran presence and our playoff pedigree is going to come into play. Where you guys are just young and still got to learn. And then my second American League wild card matchup I have is the Kansas City Royals versus the Boston Red Sox, and I have Boston winning that matchup. Then my NLDS matchups, I have the San Diego Padres versus the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I actually feel like the Padres are going to be on the Dodgers' ass all season long. I think they're going to be that team that actually is their Achilles heel, kind of takes them out. I don't think they're going to do enough to win the West, and that's simply because until the Padres prove they're a team that can win, I cannot believe in them to win it all. But I do think the Padres have been building an excellent roster over the years. I think they've got really solid starting pitching. They're going to be getting a couple guys back once they come back from the injured list. So they still have some guys to fill out the roster, especially the starting pitcher position. They have one of the best relief pitching staffs in the league. And then offensively, they're excellent. And then defensively, they're excellent as well. So I just kind of feel like the Padres are going to be a team that makes a lot of noise. But I feel like they're going to be on the Dodgers' ass. And I feel like they're going to be their Achilles heel. So that's why I have the Padres taking down the Dodgers in the NLDS. And then my second NLDS matchup I have is the Chicago Cubs versus the New York Mets. And I'm just taking the Mets in this matchup because I do think it's finally a year that the Mets have a good year, a solid year, and they finally play up to their standards. Then my ALDS matchups are the Toronto Blue Jays versus the New York Yankees. I'm taking the Yankees in that matchup just because I think the Yankees are overall the best team in the league. And then my second ALDS matchup is the Boston Red Sox versus the Detroit Tigers, and I have the Tigers winning that matchup because they have one of the best starting pitching rotations. I just think they mirror to me the Houston Astros dynasty of old, and I just feel like the Tigers are going to really be one of the top-tier teams, not only in the American League, but just overall in baseball this year. And then my NLCS matchup is the San Diego Padres versus the New York Mets, and I am taking the Padres in this one because, like I said, I feel like they have a really solid roster, a lot of depth, and I feel like the Mets, they keep building, but they're gonna run into a wall at some point, and that's where I think it's going to be, is the NLCS. And then my ALCS matchup is the Detroit Tigers versus the New York Yankees, and I have the Yankees winning that matchup because, as I continue to reiterate, I just think the Yankees are overall the best team in the league. So my World Series matchup is the San Diego Padres versus the New York Yankees, and my champion is the New York Yankees because I said it about 95 times now. I think they have the best roster in the league. I think once Cole and Rodon are back, their starting pitching already looks good right now, and they get those two back, it's just going to be better. Their relief pitching hasn't been terrible. Bednar, he's been great so far, but there's been a couple of moments with their bullpen that have really almost cost them a couple of games as well this year, so I think that's going to be a problem for them. But other than that, I mean, you've got Aaron Judge, you've got Jazz Chisholm, you've got Bellinger, and like I said, Volpe's going to be back. I mean, defensively, Volpe's a really solid player. He's very streaky when it comes to the offensive side of the ball, but I just kind of feel like the Yankees are overall the best team in the league, and I just feel like the Padres, they're going to be a team that we hear about all season long. I think their offense is great. I think their roster is great. I really like, they've got a lot of depth at the majority of the positions, and I just really like what they've been building over the years. And also, they're another team that I feel like they're not afraid to make the big trade. So this is another team where you could potentially maybe see Sandy Alcantara get traded to, because they might need to make a run for the playoffs, and hey, let's get him in there, and maybe that could be a reason why they end up in the World Series. But either way, I just think the Padres have been building a really solid roster over the last, like, five seasons, And I think now it finally comes to fruition. And I did say you can't believe in the Padres until they prove it. That's why I don't have them winning the World Series. But I do have them getting there because, like I said, I feel like they're going to be on the Dodgers' ass all season long because I think they have enough talent to keep up with the Dodgers. But I just think in the end, the Dodgers are going to win the West. But I think the San Diego Padres will beat them in the playoffs. So that is how I feel the MLB season is going to come out, turn out this season. But we have us a long way to go. As I said, a lot of rookies have been showing out so far. A lot of catchers have been showing out so far. Some good pitching has happened, and it's just been some really good, solid baseball to start the season. So I'm looking further forward to the rest of the 2026 season with the MLB season. So enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools next Friday.